Glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. I hope you came to get a glimpse of Jesus today. I think we've already seen that. The choir just blessed my heart. And I'd like to watch your song leader. He's an acrobatic. Get along. That's good. That's great. Talked about being with his brother-in-law and your pastor's wife's brother for so long. And the thing that really put us together, I suppose, before we got there, I think he'd had about four song leaders, didn't last much more than a year. And I said, well, what's going to happen to me? We had a young man there that was graduated from school, and if I could name the school, all of you would know about it. And he started taking sides with some people in the congregation. And he came to me and he says, Brother Brown, have you heard what's going on here? And I said, wait just a minute. I think I know everything that's going on, but, well, he said, there's some things you don't know. I said, well, you better not tell me, because it'll be just like talking to the pastor. And the dummy kept talking. I mean, he just talked and talked and talked. That wasn't good. I said, now, let me tell you, you're talking to the pastor. Well, so and so and so and so and so. I went to Brother Herbert and I said, this is what it's all about. And I think that put us together. That put us together. You have to be on the same team when you're serving the Lord. You can't have any differences with a coach. You got to let him lead. You got to be what he wants you to be. And that's the way it should be. Now, I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Years ago, I picked up a paper, and it had a message in it by R.G. Lee, and it made such an impression upon me. And I copied down an outline, and I've used that, and it's a message I want us to hear today. And I think it's one that if we just come in face, if we come face to face with this message today, I promise you, upon the authority of God's Word, you will leave this building differently than you came in. Just as sure as you're sitting on a pew right now. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I begin reading. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. You know, we have to say let's stand, but after Nehemiah had built the wall in 52 days, Ezra the scribe just said, now we're going to open the Scriptures. And when he said that, everybody stood up. He didn't say, now I want you all to stand for the reading of the Bible. They just stood up. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. And if one or two or three of you start doing that, I guarantee you everybody will be standing up the rest of your days here at Worth Baptist Church. That's a promise. Well, we'll see how that works out. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessings to His Word. Thank you. You may be seated. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it like? We shall see Him face to face. I like the song we used this morning. What's it going to be like? My father-in-law, Homer Britton, led singing for us the last couple of 2.5 years of his life before he went to heaven. And great preacher, great evangelist, with many years with the great Jewish evangelist Hyman Alcott as his associate evangelist. And he would sing the song, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. When we all see Jesus," and he'd stop. Every time he'd lead that song in every revival, and he would say, "What's it going to be like? Have you ever thought of what it's going to be like to see Jesus face to face?" You know Sumner Wimp that just passed away recently. His daughter, Carolyn, called me and said, "Mama just passed away and Daddy wants you to know." So I called him and I said, "Wimp, tell me about it." He said, "Well, Bobby, Carolyn came in and said, 'Daddy, Mama's not breathing.'" He said, "I went in and looked at her and said her color was good. Been married for 63 years. Kissed her on the forehead. Kissed her on the cheek a couple of times. And said, it was just wonderful God had given us those years together." He said, a couple of days after that, I had a pastor friend or a teacher friend, one of his friends, came to him and said, "Wim, just think," he said, "Celeste is on the street of gold. She's in the city of gold." And Wim said, "That's not important." His friend said, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" Wim said, "She has just seen Jesus. What's he like? What's his face like?" I'm going to say some things today that may surprise you, but it's a fact. Number one, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be a sad face. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" His face is sad because the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, "Your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he might not hear." It's sad because of us, because of wickedness, because of ungodly living. If folks, we could see the sin that takes place in the dark hours within the radius of this area, if we got one little glimpse of it, it would be enough to drive us to an asylum somewhere. But God knows all. And he sees all. Because of sin, because of wickedness, because of ungodly living, because of rejection, because of the religions of this world and people falling down to false gods, his face is a sad face. His face is a sad face because of us. Because of Christians who live contrary lives. Not according to the Word of God. Not according to his desires for us. Can't get along with one another. Fuss with one another. Fuss with Christians. His face has got to be a sad face. The Bible says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." 1 John 3:15. A number of Christians have fallen out with other Christians, and they go along as though nothing has ever happened. We just heard the story recently of some dear friends of ours. I can name them, you'd know. But the thing was made right, and that's the way it ought to be. You don't want to leave out of this world with a grudge in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ has a sad face. It's sad. It's sad. But there's more to it. As we examine the Scripture, we find out that the Lord Jesus Christ has a shining face. On Mount Hermon, 9,200 feet above sea level, Matthew 17:2, "His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light." Hebrews 1:3, the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. John on the Isle of Patmos gives us the most descriptive picture of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ to be found anywhere. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 1, verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and one in the midst, seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now watch it. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's the most descriptive picture we have of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a shining face. Paul declares his experience on the road to Damascus. The Bible teaches us that Luke testifies and John vouches. Paul declared it. His face was a shining face. Psalm 80 and verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Without the shining face of the Lord Jesus Christ, no one in this building could go to heaven. It's through getting a glimpse of Jesus Christ that will change your life from death unto life. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a shining face. Sad, yes, shining. But then, as we search the Scripture, we find out that His face was a stained face. The Bible plainly says in Bethany, His face was stained with tears. You remember when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and Jesus wept. Others were weeping. He joined them. Did you know Jesus weeps with you when you have severe problems and severe things that you cannot handle? He knows your heart. He knows your burden. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ wept. In Jerusalem, He saw the way they were going in their sin. In Luke 9:41, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Not only was His face stained with tears, His face was stained with blood. If you can get a glimpse of Jesus this morning, you'll leave this auditorium differently than you came in. If you get a glimpse of Jesus this morning, some of you will put your faith and trust in the only hope for your eternal soul to go to an endless heaven. And so, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important. Stained with blood, Luke 22, verse 41. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, we mentioned these things. His face is a sad face, and a shiny face, and a stained face. Now, why? Because of us. Because of you. Because of me. Because of everybody outside this building today. This morning. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ, a stained face. Not only was it stained with tears and blood, but it was stained with spittle. They smote Him on the head with a reed and spit upon Him. Mark 15:19. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in His face and buffeted Him. face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a stained face. But there's more. His face was a smitten face. Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair and hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, then did they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Luke and John give us this same account. Think of it. A face was found upon no sin, no vile, no dishonesty, no insincerity, no hatred, no hypocrisy, cruel hands, and callous knuckles found their mark on his brow. No wonder we read in Isaiah 52, his visage was marred more than any man. Had you known Jesus before Calvary, you would have not recognized him hanging on the cross. Now you say, why? Why? Isn't it clear? Have you got it? It was for you. It was for me. He took our hell so that we could have his heaven. Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, if you get a glimpse of Jesus today, you'll leave this building differently than you walk through the doors coming in. If you get a glimpse of Jesus today, this is going to affect you not as you leave this building, but it's going to affect you tonight and tomorrow and the rest of your life. Because if you get a true glimpse of Jesus, you'll want him to be your Savior and you'll want to spend eternity with him. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ was a smitten face. Back in the days of after our war between the states, General John B. Gordon, who was governor of Georgia, was running for the Senate seat of the United States of America. Now, in the political arena, there are always those that try to block your nomination or block your election or block your victory. They'll do everything they can. So the opposition thought if they could find someone that fought with the general during the war between states that disagreed with him and some of his policies, could stand up and speak out against him, and in those days they would just talk out in a speech, or I don't believe that, or you're lying about that, or say it again, this is the man we need, and they'd respond that way. And so General Gordon was supposed to make a speech as he endeavored to be in the Senate of the United States, and the opposition felt if they could find someone that fought by his side to oppose him publicly when he gave his speech, well, it'd go a long way in his defeat. So they found a man, fought by his side. He said, now when we give you the signal at the proper time, why then you stand up and you speak out against General Gordon. And the stage was set. The general came in and started speaking. The signal was given, but the man didn't move. They kept urging him, it's time, stand up, speak out. It'll go a long way toward his defeat. He didn't move. The general went on uninterrupted. The opposition went to the man and said, why didn't you speak out? You agreed to speak out. We wanted to defeat him. You agreed, and you didn't do it. He said, I had not seen him since the days of the war. But he said, when I looked upon his face, and when I remembered how valiantly he fought for our cause, even though I disagree with him politically, I could not speak out against the general. Folks, listen, once you get a glimpse of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to act different. there's some things you say now you won't be saying then. And you're not going to act one way in front of your Christian friends and another way in front of your lost buddies, because you're going to be a testimony. And it could be because of you that those that know you, who are steeped in sin, will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. If you can just get a glimpse of the face of Jesus Christ this morning, a scriptural glimpse of His face, you will leave this building differently than you came in. There's more. The Bible says His face was a set face. Isaiah 50 and verse 7, "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Luke 9:51, "He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before His face." And being confronted by Satan, He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And so the Lord Jesus Christ had a set face. And then His face was a scorching face. In John chapter 2 and verse 15 and 17, He made a scourge out of thongs and made a whip and drove the people out of the temple, the money changers. My house shall be called a house of prayer. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, "I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." Think of that. Earth and heaven flees from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. "There was found no place for them." One of the saddest scripture verses in the Bible is found in Revelation chapter 6. I guess this is the picture of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation, let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The Bible teaches us that the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a face that is a face that is going to be dreaded as others look upon His face. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the one. I've got my two verses here that I'm trying to sort out right quick. I'm looking for my verse. Bear with me just a minute. 6:15. Now, all right. I put my ribbon in. I thought I could turn right to it. That shows I'm human too. Okay, 6:15. "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Oh my. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a scorching face. And then the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a shrouded face. His face was wrapped in cloth. He was buried. And when they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden, in the grave, He was not there, because now His face was a seen face. "Every eye shall see Him, and we shall see Him as He is." An artist was painting a picture of the Last Supper, and he waited on the side of the crowd, and he was waiting there to find out the response of the crowd of his great masterpiece that he had painted. And only a thin curtain separated him from the crowd. And when they dropped the veil and saw the picture of the supper, they all gasped that, oh, it was just beautiful. And then something happened. Strangely, they turned their attention toward the cup. It was the cup. And they said, oh, look at the beautiful cup. It looks like it's genuine gold. It's got real diamonds and rubies. Look at the beautiful cup. And the artist had heard all that he wanted to hear. He came out, and with a few skillful strokes of his brush, he overpainted the cup and put in its place an earthen vessel. And he said, in my painting, Jesus Christ has to be the chief center of interest. He said, nothing can take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ in my painting. His face is a seen face. It shall be. Every eye shall see him. We shall see him as he is. Psalm 27, verse 8, and when thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 17, 15, as for me, I will behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Do you know him this morning? If you're here in this building and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, if you're here in this building and you've struggled, you've tried this, you've tried the other thing, it hasn't worked, I'll tell you, you haven't met Jesus. Because when you meet him, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get a glimpse of his face this morning. And you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you'll change your direction. You will not be going out that door at the invitation. You'll be here. Someone will be opening the Bible and showing you how you can go to heaven, how you can have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We thank Thee that He was seen of the disciples and then over 500 as He ascended up into heaven. And every eye shall see Him, and we shall know Him. And we pray that everybody in this building will be prepared for that event, either by death or by the coming of Christ. We pray, Lord, that those here today that may be uncertain will come to Jesus as their Savior. We ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.